Thank you, Madam Chair. Your Excellencies, I congratulate Autoria New Zealand for being one of 7 countries to ratify all 9 of the core human rights treaties. At a personal level, it has been an honor to work with a leader like Helen Clark. It was she who introduced the Women, Peace and Security agenda to the UNDP's work. Today, once again, we are at the cusp of a celebration of the UN Security Council Resolution 1325 as we stand at the cusp of its quarter century history. It is a time to measure progress and envision new directions for the Women, Peace and Security agenda. New Zealand's first National Action Plan concluded in 2019. We hope the second National Action Plan under the Women, Peace and Security agenda brings greater focus on supporting regional women peace builders as opposed to a primary focus on increasing the number of women in the military deployed abroad. National action plans must be both external looking and internal looking, even when you're at peace. But most importantly, it must be forward looking. And as part of that, we emphasize the General Recommendation 40 of the CEDAW on women's parity in decision making. In fact, the Gender Action Plan of 2021-2024, which was launched by the Prime Minister Ardern, focuses on women's leadership across New Zealand's developmental cooperation to the Pacific countries. It also aims to increase New Zealand's gender investment to 60% of its developmental cooperation. We would like more information of your government's feminist diplomacy in development cooperation and its impact on women, peace and security in the Pacific. As to the National Human Rights Mechanism, which is the Human Rights Act of New Zealand, you have made it unlawful to discriminate on the basis of gender and very many intersectional grounds. However, given the Maori and other indigenous and ethnic languages, the omission of language as a ground of unlawful discrimination, I hope, will be revisited. The National Council of Women of New Zealand, which is your national machinery, has lauded the 2023 New Zealand budget for using a gender lens for the first time. The exercise required your agencies to consider the impacts of their initiatives on women and girls, particularly Maoris. However, Your Excellencies, does this gender analysis include a more nuanced and granular understanding of intersectional analysis? Women with disabilities and women from religious minorities are disproportionately affected by gender-based physical violence, economic violence, psychological violence, and structural violence. Your Excellencies, I follow the work of the New Zealand Supreme Court carefully. And today, on a day like today, I would like to congratulate the leadership of Justice Dame Susan Glazebrook, who helped women judges to flee Afghanistan in August 2021 after the Taliban takeover of the country, all as part of her role as president of the International Association of Women Justices. Please convey my best to her. The judicial application of the CEDAW, as my colleague Natasha invoked, is an important part of domesticating the CEDAW. I am glad to note that there are 6 Supreme Court judgments very recently from 2019 on the CEDAW. However, Your Excellencies, under the Treaty of the Waitangi Act, the Maori established the Waitangi Tribunal, which the Maori used to make recommendations to the government. Now, is the Waitangi Tribunal trained on the CEDAW, and does the tribunal apply the CEDAW in its decision making? In CEDAW's Article 3, which I'm covering, states parties are asked to take all appropriate measures to guarantee the rights of women. And this term, all appropriate measures, is not immutable. It's not frozen in amber, and it continues to grow. A distinguished member of the delegation identified technology-facilitated violence as a burgeoning challenge. My next comments are extraordinarily important as they examine related challenges from the perspective of Indigenous data governance and data security, which is the future of human progress. And I hope New Zealand takes a leadership position in addressing this urgent challenge. Article 2 of the Maori language version of the Treaty of Waitangi uses taongo, which translates to treasures, which refers to all dimensions of a tribal group's estate, material and non-material heirlooms, as well as sacred places, ancestral law, and genealogies. The tribunal classifies something as taonga if it is valued and treasured by the Maori. The governance and sovereignty of data is taonga, or valued treasure to the Maori and to all of us. The idea that data is of strategic value to all Indigenous people and the Maori is compliant with the full potential of CEDAW's General Recommendation 39 and 40. In 2021, the Waitangi Tribunal found that the Maori relationship to data is part of the Maori knowledge system, and that therefore the way that the digital domain is governed and regulated has important potential implications for the integrity of the Maori knowledge system. Now, the Waitangi Tribunal has cited the UN Special Rapporteur on the right to privacy as relevant, and has said that the data is a cultural and economic resource for Indigenous people, and that the existing data and data infrastructure does not meet Indigenous people's current and future data needs. The tribunal also found that the government of New Zealand has failed to understand and actively protect the risks to Maori interests arising from e-commerce provisions and cross-border data flows. In your transformative and intergenerational journey that you're taking in New Zealand, how do you understand your obligations and responsibilities under the CEDAW with respect to Maori data sovereignty and governance, especially in relation to new technologies and e-commerce? These must impact domestic policy. Will the Data and Statistics Act of 2022 recognize the interests of Maori in the collection, production, and access to their data? Please tell us how gender and Maori women are included in data governance and how women are leading this. Maori data sovereignty claims will have transformative impact on the interpretation of the Treaty of Waitangi, the way in which all of us look at data, and this is key to a global public reckoning.